before I preach, I really felt there were some people and you are very weary in the battle. Whatever battle it is that you're fighting, you just feel weary. You're having trouble sleeping. Some are having trouble sleeping at night, but you just feel weary in the battle. Tired. I think some of it's mentally tired, mentally going, struggling, maybe even struggling a little bit to get out of bed in the morning. I know some of us are all in that category, so you know, take that. But you just go, man, I'm just not the way I normally am. I just feel like I'm weary in the battle. If that's you, why don't you just stand where you are? Thank you, Jesus. I actually feel to get you out. I'm sorry, I don't like doing that. I like to say it first. But why don't you just come and stand out here if you're... I'm not trying to trap you. I just feel... You know, I prayed this morning about the altar. Surely the house of God. And one of the things that I loved in that verse was it said, this is the very gateway to heaven. The gateway to heaven, the presence of God in this gateway, in this place. So I had two words that I got for this, and that is peace, and I felt strength. So I don't know what you're facing, but I felt you needed peace and you needed strength. And the two words I got was Philippians 4:6-7, probably one of my favorite verses. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. If you've heard me before, everything means everything. There's nothing that you can't be praying about. There's nothing that's not in the list. Everything's in the list. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I see that a lot being that maybe the outside circumstances haven't changed, but you now have a peace. It's a peace from God. It's a peace that goes, God, I know you've got this under control and I can trust you with this. You experience, which exceeds anything we understand, His peace will guard your hearts and your mind as you live with Christ. For me, when I was most stressed in life, it was my mind that got out of control. And I started thinking all the worst of the worst was going to happen. I just started thinking down these negative lines that just put a weight on me and just frightened me. And what God's saying is when you give it to Him, then you can get peace of mind, peace in your thinking, a rest in your thinking. And then Isaiah 40:29, He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weary and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And I just felt and I saw strength coming into you. So why don't you just close your eyes, maybe put your hands out as a stance. Maybe we have some leaders. If you're a mature Christian in our church, why don't you come and stand behind someone here? It'd be great if everybody had somebody standing behind them. And just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. In fact, I'm going to get everyone to stand up because you pray better when you're standing up. I don't know why, but you do. And why don't you just pray? Maybe you can pick someone out here. You might not know them, but you just look at them and go, Lord, I pray for that person. And just begin to, if you speak in tongues, why don't you begin to speak in tongues? And just pray. Don't be passive. Be involved. Don't be a watcher. Be involved. Just start to pray. Come on, let's lift our prayers to God. Father, Holy Spirit, begin to move by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray for those two things to enter into these people's situation. Father, your peace. Your peace, Father. Lord, your peace. Your peace in their situation. Your peace. Your peace, Father. Lord, I pray may it touch their situation, Father. God, may they have peace, Father. Lord, in their mind, Father. Lord, I pray about every bit of worry and anxiety and problems and this and scenarios, Lord, that they would just give them to you, Lord, as they give them to you in prayer, as they pray about everything. Father, I pray that peace that surpasses all understanding would touch their hearts, their minds, their lives. God, let peace rule. Lord, we want your peace. Father, peace that comes out of a faith and a trust that you have it under control. Lord, you know what you're doing, that you are going to intervene in their situation that they are facing right now. God, we pray peace come. And Father, I also pray strength in their thinking, strength in their spirit, strength in their physical body, Father. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling to sleep at night. Lord, I pray your peace would come in the night. Lord, that they would be restored. Lord, restoration and peace and life, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Speak out your prayers. Even if you just speak peace over these people, peace over these people. If you just speak strength over these people. God, we pray your strength, your power, your anointing in this place. Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus. Those that are standing at the front, use your imagination right now and see good coming out of this situation. Whatever that situation is that's a burden to you, see the answer, see something happening. See something happening. Ask God, God, give me a picture. Give me a picture. Maybe it's of a person being with you that's not with you. Or maybe it's whatever it is, just see it. See God working in that situation. In fact, there's people that you're not out the front, but you're facing something and you need to see God answer it. And you need to say, God, give me a picture. I need a picture. I need a picture. I need an answer, a picture. Holy Spirit, Father, I pray right now pictures would flow into people's situations. Lord, some a answer. Some of them, God's just giving you a word, one word. One word is an answer. One word. Some of you even God's even showing you doing something, doing some sort of action, doing something. It's maybe going into the room of praying for somebody who's that was their room or that is their room and they're not there but praying them. Maybe it's even coming up here and praying in the prayer room that they were once in church but they're not now. But see them. You've got to see it. The enemy wants to blind you from seeing. He doesn't want you to see the answer. He doesn't want you to see the promise. He does not want you to see. You have got to see it. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just stay in this place. I want to preach, but it doesn't matter if I don't preach. If you can have an encounter with God, if you can have one revelation, it'll set you free. And that revelation can come while you're standing out there, where you're standing here. Revelation is what sets us free. I can preach and speak till the cows come home and you not get it, but in a moment you can get it in the Spirit. You can get it. It's an answer from God. Holy Spirit. Sometimes it takes a moment. Sometimes it takes 5-10 minutes just to let things just wash out of you. Sometimes our minds just keep rushing and rushing and now... You just got to take time to break through and let God just, in a sense, just that peace come. Wait for that peace. If you haven't got that peace, you need to find somewhere today where you just wait for that peace to come. Wait for God's peace to come. We've got all our little boxes that we put things in, but God, sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it takes shorter. There's not one rule fits all, but there is one God who fixes all. And as you just take time. If you speak in tongues, you need to speak in tongues more than you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Just stay where you are, because I just feel the next group, not to do anything more, but we're just going to pray for it, and it's this. I got a picture of people with heavy hearts. Heavy hearts. And it was like you had a dark cloud over your heart. You can't work out why it is. Could even be a dark cloud of depression. But I just felt this heavy heart. David in Psalm 109 said, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." And I just felt that what you were to do was to start worshiping. Psalm 109:30 says this, "With my mouth I will greatly extol the Lord, and the great throng of worshippers I will praise him." Do you know that you get healed in your spirit when you worship in this place? I don't know how it works, but there's something different about us all being here worshiping. Now, worshiping is not just singing. It's an attitude. It's a stance. It's proclaiming. And so I feel just in this that we're just to worship for a bit. And that's not sing a song. It's just to worship God. So that's you saying praise and worship to your God. Because here's the thing. In Psalm 16:11, for those that have got a heavy heart, it says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." In your presence. See, if you have got a heavy heart, the enemy does not want you to be in God's presence, because he knows when you get in his presence, that's where there's fullness of joy. That's where your heart begins to heal. And so we're just going to worship, and I just want us all to worship. Did you know that your worship that you do now affects the person next to you? See, we often think of so many things in an individual factor, that it's just between me and God, just between me and God. No, no, no. It's between you and God, but it's between your family and your church as well. There is a body of Christ. That's why God made a body with all sorts of parts to it. And so when you worship, you can set someone else in this place gets set free because of your worship. So why don't you just close your eyes, and I just want you to worship God. And I can tell you, you cannot worship God by being silent. You have got to speak it out. You've got to say something to God. Even if it's holy, 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 you've got to say something to God. So just begin to speak out your worship to him right now. And it's going to break things in people's lives. It's going to break things in people's hearts, and their heavy hearts. As you worship, as you begin to proclaim God, as you honor him, as you speak praise to him. God, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. You are our King. You are our God. Come on, begin to speak it out. Speak something. Speak something. Even if it is just, God, I praise you. God, I praise you. I worship you. Express your praise. You can do it. You don't need a song to be able to do it. You can do it. Say something. Say something to God. Say something. The rocks and the stones will cry out if we don't worship, if we don't say something. Say something to God. God, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. You are our King, our God. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Fill us. We love you. We exalt you. You are good, God. You're good. Everything about you is good. You are good. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love in this place. Thank you that you love us. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your love. We exalt you. We love you. We worship you. You are our King. You are our God. You are our Lord. You are Lord of all. You are Lord of everything in our lives. We worship you. Father, I pray for those that have got a heavy heart. Lord, I pray for those that battle with depression. Lord, I pray right now that they would know joy. Father, I pray you'd give them a revelation of worship. A revelation of worshiping you. That, Lord, whenever that cloud comes, they begin to worship you. And that cloud would lift. Lord, whenever they worship you, I can see some of you going, right, I'm going to say aloud the Psalms. I'm going to speak out the Psalms of worship. Maybe even use the Psalms of ascent. But begin to worship God by speaking out His Word. Putting on some praise, some worship. And I see you've been lifted. It doesn't matter where. It's just that you begin to worship. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit, for the spirit of heaviness. There's a transaction that takes place. There's a transaction that takes place. When you're heavy, you go, I'm going to put on the garment of praise. I'm going to praise God no matter what. You may be seated. Thank you for praying. Thank you, guys. I've already turned my sermon into part one and part two because I can see I'm not going to have time to do it all. And that just makes you relax, doesn't it? You don't have to get it all out. You know, there's a few things that are always happening, and I look at it and I go, oh, God knows what He's doing. He puts things in the right time. And I think our time of prayer and fasting is quite significant. I just feel it's not something that we just went, oh, let's just put it here and that seems to fit. It's a God time for us to be praying and fasting. And you know, look, in life, I think everything's connected. So things that are happening in your personal life are things that are happening to church, to the church family. And things that are happening in the church are not just happening in our church, they're happening in the church, in Tauranga, or the church in New Zealand. It's connected. And I'm conscious of the fact that I feel we're in a spiritual battle. And so the title of my message is, You're in a Spiritual Battle. You're in one. Now, whether you believe it or not doesn't matter. You're still in one. Whether you think you are or you don't think you are doesn't really matter because you are in one. There's two major risks with me talking about being in a spiritual battle. The first major risk is that we get too super spiritual about and think everything's spiritual. Well, it is, but it isn't. We can think every problem that we face is spiritual when some of it's just some dumb decision that we've made. So we contend, and look, we all have a bias. You know, some of us have a bias to be super spiritual about everything. And we use that as an excuse to go, while everything's going wrong in our lives, And really, it's just because we weren't wise and we weren't thinking in what we do. And then others of us, we're just so conscious of the world. We don't think there's anything spiritual happening around us. We just, and our risk is that we're in the wrong place. You know, some of us, and look, I'm probably over this side, and that I'm practical. I'm into what I can see. And all this airy, fiery stuff that I can't quite see, I don't like. Because I like to be in control. I like to know what's happening. Yet at the same time, there is a whole lot of spiritual things going on all the time. And our challenge is to be spiritually balanced, if that is possible. When I start talking about spiritual things, I'm always concerned that for some people, it's a fearful thing. They get fearful about spiritual things. I was with the young adults during the week, and I just asked the question of how many people had had some sort of dark spiritual encounter. And I would have said about 5 or 6 people put their hand up to say, I'd had a dark. And if I was to do the same here, I'm not going to, but there would be a handful of people in here that you've had at times, you've had a dark spiritual encounter that has freaked you out. And so when I start talking about spiritual warfare, you go, oh. And it brings fear. And the first scripture that I reckon we've all got to write down is this one here, 1 John 4, verse 4. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people. So these were people that were antichrist. Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. The first revelation you and I have got to get is that our God is greater. That our God is stronger, that you don't need to fear anything, that the Spirit of God in you is greater than whatever is around you that you are facing. And that's ground one. That's revelation one. And look, if there's anything the enemy wants to take away is that I suppose that sense that you know the enemy wants you to be intimidated so that you feel that you don't have any power. He wants you to think that your prayers don't work. He wants you to think that you don't have any power. And so he wants us to do nothing. He wants you to be silent. He wants you to stop doing. But we've got to know that, hey, our God is greater, our God is stronger. And like the scripture says, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. It's greater than the worldly spirit. It's stronger than the worldly bias. It's stronger than what the world would try to do. It's greater within you. I remember when I think I've had 2 spiritual encounters. One was, I can remember in my flat, I was at university, I was about 19. We were in a flat that they said was built over a burial ground. I don't know whether it was urban legend or whether it was true or not, I don't know. But one night while I was sleeping in this place, and I can't remember what had happened, but I can just remember waking up and I couldn't move. And I'm waking up, and then I felt myself move around the room. Now, it was, you know how you're in that zone. If you read the Bible and they have their dreams, they're a zone where you're going, is this reality or not reality? And I couldn't move, and I couldn't speak. And straight away, this fear, it was some sort of spirit of fear was just stopping me. And I remember finally going, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And then suddenly I sort of found myself I felt like I dropped back into my bed. And so I quickly ran upstairs and got one of my flatmates who I thought was a bit more spiritual and said, come down here, you need to pray in my room. Now, I don't know what happened, but it was something happened. And, you know, we all try and work these things out, don't we? Do you try and work them out? I don't work them out. Well, I wasn't. I sort of came to the conclusion that it was maybe somebody in this flat before me had had some sort of spiritual thing, and then that spirit had gone away and came back to that place. I know, and just happened to get a fright when it touched me, because it didn't last very long. But it freaked me out. And it made me go, oh, there's a spiritual thing happening. And then when I was about 21, 22, I led this tour for our youth in Hamilton, where we were doing this tour around New Zealand. And we came to Waihee, and we came to Tauranga here, and then we went to Gisborne. And it was a group of, I think there was about 30 or 40 of us. The average age was 17, and they left me responsible at 21. I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, I felt way out of debt. There were some parents, but to be honest, they were useless. Am I allowed to say that? No. I hope they're not here. I don't think so. Now we're wanting to take that back, just in case you know who that person... Well, I don't think you will. Anyhow, moving right along. We're on this tour, and we've been talking to the kids about, hey, we're doing spiritual warfare and things like that. And look, there's a whole lot of us in this room that would have been just like them. We went, oh, I don't know whether I believe all that sort of stuff and that. And so we get to Gisborne, and we start praying, and a couple of the people that had been leaders who came to visit us, who were leaders in our church, they weren't on the tour, but they were leaders, they were into doing deliverance. They just had a meeting and some teaching with Bill Zabriskie, if you know Bill Zabriskie, and so they were into doing deliverance. And now I don't know if you know what that is, but they were into it. And so they happened to, while we were doing our sort of production, that they did this deliverance on this guy, no, it was a girl, in this room. And there's a whole lot of things that they were doing in this. And I had nothing to do with it. And I thought, man, you shouldn't be doing that in someone else's church. I had all the rules that I knew needed to fit into. And so they're doing this deliverance. And we finished our production. And when you're on tours, often the best part of them is when you have your prayer meeting afterwards, where you just pray with the team, because most of our ministry that we go do is better for us than it is probably for the people we minister to. And so we're doing some ministry, having some good worship, and in the middle of it, this lady that was doing this deliverance with this people stopped and said, look, can I just get us to pray for this lady here? And I was a bit ticked off, because I was quite enjoying our worship, and I felt, oh, okay. So we brought this lady out, and she was carrying a baby, and this girl started praying for her, and this lady manifested like I've never seen it. It was full on. She and someone grabbed the baby, and this lady was fully. It wasn't her. It was demonic. And I've got a whole lot of 16, 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds looking at this with their eyes like saucers. And I'm looking at it going, what the heck is going on here? And so I turn and I say, we all need to start praying. Well, I've never seen young people pray so much in their life. They start praying. And this lady, and at the time, Bill Zabriskie had taught them that you've got to keep their eyes open. I know, look, this sounds funny now, but you've got to keep their eyes open. So this girl's trying to keep this lady's eyes open, trying... And it's all going out of control. And then what's scary is that some of the other people on my tour start manifesting. They start going crazy. Here I am, I'm 21, going, what do I do? And one of the other guys, who is quite wise, a little bit younger than me, goes, comes over and says to me, Alan, I don't think this is good. And I'm going, I agree, this is out of control. What are we going to do? And so, so I think, what do? You ring the pastor. So I rang the pastor. Now, we're in Gisborne. He lived on the beach of Gisborne. And so I rang him, and I said, mate, look, it's all got out of control here. We need you to come down. This lady. And he goes, oh, look, I can't be bothered coming back. Oh, thanks. Just shut it down and just tell them all to go home. And just go to bed. Oh, okay, can you do that? Yeah, yeah, look, that lady, she's forever having all those things. Just stop it. Tell them all to go home, and that'll be it. And we'll take care of it in the morning. So I walk out. Okay, that's it. That's it, that's it. Stop, stop, stop. Well, it all stops. It all stops. It just all stops. And I said to the lady, I think you need to go home. And so they took her out. She went home. She just stopped. I thought, oh, this is weird, isn't it? It was a bit of a show. And all the kids, I said, right, everybody go to bed. I just quickly prayed. We all go to bed. There was one girl came running up to me. And she says, it's right there. It's right there. And I just said, no, that's it. We'll take care of it in the morning. And everybody went to sleep and everybody went to bed. And the next morning we did deal with this girl, and she had an encounter. Her blood vessels had popped completely. It was definitely a spiritual thing. And you're all going, why did you tell us about that? Well, I'll tell you what, when the rest of that tour went, when I said we need to pray, everybody prayed. They'd had an encounter where they'd felt it, they'd seen it. Now, we don't see a lot of that, and quite frankly, I don't think we should go after that. I don't think it's something you go, you know, even, in a sense, even Ephesians 6 talks about standing and just standing in the attack, and I don't think we've got to go after the spiritual things, but I do think we've got to be a lot more aware that what's happening around us is spiritual, and that there's some spiritual things happening. And look, when I prayed this morning about this being the house of God and seeing the presence of God in this place, I honestly see that. I see in this place there is something about it. There is something about it. Why? Because we worship here. And it creates a hole in the spirit. I don't know how it works. I feel like I'm a person trying to look through a keyhole to try and work out what the room looks like inside and the whole house looks like inside, and I can't see it. That's what I feel like when it comes to the spiritual realm. Like in here, I can see hearing, but if I was to try and look at everything and to get a grasp of this building by just looking through a keyhole, I wouldn't quite understand it all. But what I do know is that the spiritual world is more real than our natural world. And that there's more happening in the spiritual world, and that everything that we do is connected. There is a connection with it. You know, if there's one thing, if you look through the Bible, is that physical things are often going backwards and forwards across spiritual things. Jesus walking on water, is that a natural thing or a spiritual thing? It's a bit of both. And you and I go, man, we know that's impossible because we've all tried it. You can't walk on water. But Jesus walked on water, and that was a spiritual thing. There are spiritual things happening all the time. They're happening in your life, in my life. And we've got to try and work out, okay, what do we do? It's weaved together in our world. Each of us have an influence of some sort in the spiritual world. The Bible is full of the supernatural. It's just everywhere. And so when we come to be praying, it's going to have a spiritual effect. And you know, look, I've only read my first bit. I was going to talk about, and you can read it for homework, Elisha in 2 Kings 6:8. So write down 2 Kings 6:8. Go read that story about Elisha that's facing a spiritual, and it says to his servant, open your eyes so you can see what's happening in the spiritual. I say all of that to say, your prayers matter. And one of my things this year is saying to people, can you pray a little bit more? And I feel it's a key to your life and to my life to say to you, could you pray a little more? If you pray for 5 minutes a day, could you pray for six? If you pray for 7 minutes a day, could you pray for eight? If you pray for 10 minutes a day, could you pray for 15? If you pray once a week, could you pray twice a week? Whatever you do, can you increase it? Because I feel we need it more than we realize. There are people here, you're facing all sorts of things and you think it's natural and it's spiritual. A few weeks ago, I said, hey, every person in business needs to get some people that are going to pray for their business. Business is spiritual. Everything you do, some of you for your workplace, you're having major problems. And you think it's the boss. No, 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 it's a spiritual thing. We don't wrestle against people. We're not fighting people. Don't get mad with people. Don't get angry with people. Get mad with the enemy. Start praying. If anything for today, all I'm saying is you and I need to pray a little bit more. And if you haven't been praying, start praying. Start praying, because it's going to change the things around your life.